Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our first reading from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. This is our text. Wow! They didn't sing that hymn like that last night. Christ is risen, hallelujah.
He is risen indeed, hallelujah.
This is a very historic day here at Trinity, because for the first time in Trinity's 114-year history, we are confirming our first seventh grade class. And if you really want to make this really historic, we already confirmed our eighth grade class. So this is the only time in our history when we will ever confirm two classes of students. Over 30 students combined, correct? Yeah, so that's probably the biggest confirmation class we've ever had. So this is truly a historic day. Why all the change? Well, it's really all about faith development. In a world that is quickly moving away from the Word of God, and from a relationship with the one true triune God, we feel that it's so important that our students get a firm foundation in the faith so that they will be better equipped to handle the influences of the world, society, and yes, even Satan himself. It seemed to us, Pastor Ganey, myself, and Mrs. Amling, that there were three rites of passage that seemed to mark our eighth graders leaving Trinity. They had confirmation on Palm Sunday, they had the DC trip, and then they had their graduation. And it all seemed to point towards an end to their relationship with Trinity. And so by moving confirmation to seventh grade, it takes away part of that mindset as we try to convey that confirmation is not graduation. Confirmation is just the beginning of their walk with God. And so this year, I worked with the seventh graders, and we worked on and focused on teaching them the basics of Luther's Small Catechism. So they were taught the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, Holy Communion, and the Office of the Keys. And so next year, Pastor Ganey is going to build on that foundation and continually ask that very Lutheran question of the six chief parts, what does this mean? In other words, okay, you know the Ten Commandments, but what do those Ten Commandments mean for your life? And how do those Ten Commandments apply to your life? And let's take a look at a few biblical examples to really cement it in. And so again, it is all about faith development, trying to develop a relationship between these students and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you want to talk about faith development, that's what our first lesson is all about with the conversion of St. Paul, otherwise known as Saul. Because what we see in this text is God's actions, more specifically, Jesus' actions, to develop faith in the heart of Saul. And as the text opens up, What we see is that Saul was really not a nice person. I mean, we are first introduced to Saul in Acts chapter 7, where he's present at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And after Stephen is stoned, the very next verse in chapter 8, verse 1, it says that Saul approved of the execution. Then we see in our text for today that Saul gets the idea in his head. It's wholly his idea. He runs to the high priest to get papers so that he could go to Damascus and arrest anyone who professes to believe in Jesus Christ. And while we're never told that Saul himself killed anybody, chances are that anybody who was arrested and taken back to Jerusalem would have been killed and put to death. And so we see in that very first verse of our text for today, the Apostle Luke writes, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, goes off to Damascus." So no, Saul was not a very nice person at all. But our Lord had a plan. God always has a plan. Our theme for this school year has reflected the idea that God has a plan. Our theme is from Jeremiah 29:11, where Jeremiah writes, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And so God's plan is to act in the life of Saul. You know, Jesus himself comes and confronts Saul and asks him that very alarming question, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You know, this all takes place about 2 years after Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. 2 years, and Saul is still persecuting the church. And so we've heard the phrase that the best defense is a good offense. Well, Jesus, he goes on the offense, and he is claiming Saul as his own. And so he blinds Saul, and he appears to Saul and confronts Saul. And then Ananias blesses Saul, and Saul is baptized. And immediately, as the text says, immediately Saul started proclaiming Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And we all know that Saul went on to become one of the greatest evangelists to ever proclaim the message of God's word, that salvation comes by grace through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, it really is a miracle that God changed the heart of Saul. And the reality is that it's a miracle that God has changed our hearts as well. You know, I've told our confirmands time and time again in class that by nature we are spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. On our own, there is nothing we can do to develop our faith, to develop our relationship with God. And so while Jesus isn't going to come to you with a flash of light and ask you why you're persecuting him, we know that God works through the means of grace. He works through God's word. He works through baptism. He works through the Lord's Supper. And that is how God's Holy Spirit works in us to bring us to faith in Jesus as our own personal Lord and Savior. And that's why we gather as often as we can to hear God's word and receive his sacraments, so that we can develop that wonderful relationship with our Lord and Savior. You see, God is not just someone who sits on the sidelines to see, you know, how are things going to turn out. God's not a spectator by any means. Our God is a very personal God who desires a very close personal relationship with all of his people, his children, the adults, every single one of them. The problem is, we are sinners. Every single one of us. And because of our sin, we need a Savior. And that Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. And our job here at Trinity is to proclaim from the rooftops that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That is the mission of our church, and that is the mission of our school that we take so seriously. And that's what brings us to this historic day as we work together to develop the faith, not just of every member of our congregation, but especially of those 16 confirmands who will be making their own public confession of their faith later on today. But we're still left with the fact that we are sinners. As I said, we are spiritually blind, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. But if there is one thing that God is love. John writes in his epistle, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born from God and knows God. Anyone who does not know God, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He has loved us from the very foundations of the world. And more than anything else, He wants us to be in a relationship with Him, and He wants us to be in heaven with Him." How do I know that God wants us to be in heaven with Him? Because He sacrificed His one and only Son on the cross. And He did it for each and every one of you. And so, yes, this is a historic day at Trinity. But it was a day planned long, long ago by a God who loves us so very much. The reality is that each and every single day that someone comes to faith, it is a historic day. For as Luke writes in his gospel, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so I can only imagine the joy that there is in heaven today as we hear God's word, as we repent of our sins, and as we continue to develop our close relationship with Jesus Christ as our one and only Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.